Why don't I just lead in prayer right here, Bob,
All right. For
the time tonight. Father, we just want to again come to you as people whom you love, people whom you've died for. And we're here tonight because we desire to be, because we want the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And I pray as Bob speaks, Lord God, that your Spirit would use your word to penetrate into our hearts, that we might really understand that happiness in life comes in really knowing Jesus Christ. And I pray that this will be the desire of our heart tonight, and we turn this time over to you, Lord, that you would use this time in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ray. We're going to miss co-laboring with Ray and Sharon in Kalamazoo as well, and in considering going to the Middle East. There were a lot of heart tugs, thanking all the wonderful people over the last number of years we've met. But we know that we're still one in Christ, and they'll be laboring with us in prayer, and we'll just be in a different location, but not out of our hearts. I'd like you to meet my better half tonight. Many of you have met her. Marilyn, will you stand up? Thank you. And I wouldn't be here today probably if it wasn't for her and her help and prayers and being behind me so much in everything that we've done the last 4 years together. This evening, don't miss the point. I thought that as I thought about the opening message, I felt we don't want to miss the point of the week. So I call it Don't Miss the Point. And the purpose that we believe of this week is that you might come to know Jesus Christ better. We want you to meet Christ this week. You say, I know him already. Well, I'm glad you've met him. And you know him as your Savior. But our desire is that you might know him better. Have a true encounter in a new way with the person of Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking necessarily of an emotional thing, but just to know Jesus Christ better. Now you say, know Jesus Christ better. Well, husbands, do you know your wives? I bet tonight we could go around and I'd say, now I want you each to think of one thing that you can tell about your wife. That'll be the only criteria. One thing that maybe she's forgotten, but that really helped you to know her better. And you could come up with all kinds of things. And I could say, wives, now, what's one story you could tell about your husband? See, you have to be fair play here. That maybe he's forgotten. And you could tell a story, undoubtedly. And you know each other pretty well. We hope this week you'll get to know each other better. But you know each other, and the reason you do is you've gone through experiences together. All kinds of experiences. It wasn't just a knowledge that you've had of one another. You haven't just known each other through correspondence totally. But you've lived together. You've walked together. You've cried together. You've laughed together. You've been sorry together. You've been happy together. And you've gone through experiences together. And as a result, you know one another so many years. It's been 1 year, like Ron and Betty, not quite, Ron and Betty Ortley. Haven't been married quite 1 year. Is that, 1 year. 1 year you've been married. How many days?
Almost a week.
1 year and 1 week. Anybody married less than that year? One couple back there. How long? Good. Great. We have one younger couple back there. And they've known each other that long. And they've had experiences together. And this week, we want to have experiences together with the person of Christ. Philippians 3:10 out of the Amplified, and many of you are familiar with this. It says this, and I pray that this may be our heart's desire. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. Determination, purpose. That I may progressively, speaks of growth, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers. And that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in the Spirit into His likeness, even into His death, in the hope that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Christ. And I believe that this is your desire. You would not have spent the money or the time that you've taken out of your schedule to come out here. This is our desire. And we know that this is His desire for us to know Christ. So we'll start up here. I have a real challenge tonight. I have to speak to keep you awake after a long train ride, so I'm going to use everything I can get a hold of, visual aids and the works. I may jump up and down just to keep us all awake, because I know you're tired. I made the trip last year, and so it's going to be as short as possible and as lively as possible, and we'll get to the point. To know Christ. This is the Lord's desire. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, as we said, as Russ said, take, what was that word, voluptuous? No, voluminous! Voluptuous is like scrumptious, isn't it? They eat those. Well, we want you to feed this week. But voluminous notes. So copy these scripture verses down, because we'd like you to think about them. And in the morning sometime, you may get up just a little bit earlier and spend some time with the Lord and have time to meditate on some of the verses and thoughts. And we're going to take just a little time at the end of the service to think about it as well. But it says to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a growing experience from beginning to end, from birth until death.
They'd measure this, so it's a little long, isn't it? Yeah, like I said, a little long. Stay up there.
We put the cross up, alive in Christ, from the very beginning when you meet the Savior, until you die or He comes again. It was His quest that you came to Him. John 3:16, a verse that we learn in Sunday school, basically states it. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I'm always amazed. I never come to the end of the depth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Revelation 3:20, Jesus Christ stood at the door and knocked. He was looking for you. It was His quest from the very beginning. And your whole life, the thing that Jesus Christ is doing right now is conforming us to His image. This is His purpose. This is this middle area, the growing part. Romans 8:29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29. He's making you into the image of His Son. He wants you to be like His Son. And you're going through experiences together with God as you have come to know Him as your Savior. And more, He wants to turn your character and nature into His, like Him. Even into the very time that we die or He comes again, 1 John 3:2-3, Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. From birth until death, God's plan is that you become more like His Son, that you know Him better. What kind of knowledge am I talking about? You say, well, I know a lot of Bible verses. Theology. I know a lot of theology, and I've been raised in a church. I know a lot of doctrine. Let me quote Matthew 22:29. I think it'll answer this. The King James says, ye do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. The RSV says, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. Do we have to know Bible verses, theology, and doctrine? Yes, we do. That's important. But the last part of the verse, I believe, the power of God. Do we know the power of God? Working on the basis of what He says in His Word, because we've experienced it and we know that power. God has said it. I have believed Him, tested it in my life, and found it to be true. I've seen the power of God work. This is getting to know Jesus Christ, an experiential knowledge. See, that's what, from the very beginning it was, in salvation. The very beginning. You say, well, do I know Christ? Well, if you know Him as Savior, you have taken that first step. Because you heard about that He would save you and change your life, and you stepped out on that. I'll go into that just a little later. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Okay, what are we to glory in? But let him who glories glory in this, get this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. What do I delight in? Somebody who knows and understands that I am the Lord. And if you trace that I am back in the Old Testament, it's God's dealing and interaction with man. I am. And this is His name, I am. And He says, I glory, I delight in a man who understands and knows me. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and understanding of God. A person can have a lot of facts but not understand. Understand comes through experience. We know that in our workaday world, don't we? We have a man of understanding and wisdom. It's a man who not only knows facts but puts it to work and experience in everyday situations. And he's coming into real understanding. Last night we were out with Waldron and Joan Scott, and he was talking to me about thinking like a missionary and having what he called savvy. And he said, now I can get a lot of knowledge, but it'll be 3 or 4 years before I have savvy. And what he was telling me was, before I understand the people and the culture, before I have understanding, it will take experiences. So the kind of knowledge that we're talking about is progress with the living God on the basis of His Word, experiencing with Him, knowing Him. Tozer said, progress in the Christian life is experience in the knowledge of the triune God. Progress, if we make progress in our Christian life, it's experiencing God. It's experience in the knowledge of the triune God. And I believe the reason for spiritual retardation is that the knowledge piles up far higher than the experiences with God. And God's children, many of them are retarded because they know far more than they're doing or experiencing. Now, as I said, I mentioned once before, salvation. Let me give you an experience of this. A person can say, well, to be saved, you must believe. Oh, I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. We run into guys and gals on the campus who say this all the time. Oh, I believe Christ died and rose again. Well, James says the devils believe. I'm not sure they believe that, but they believe. I believed in marriage before 1964. March the 28th, 1964, 2 o'clock. At the First Presbyterian Church downtown, Colorado Springs. I believed in it. I was a thorough believer in the institution. I read books on it. And I knew Marilyn, that she was a lovely gal, a good cook and beautiful dresser and everything. And I felt, I'm a believer in marriage. And my buddy would ask me, are you married? No, not before 2 o'clock, March the 28th, 1964, downtown Colorado Springs, First Presbyterian Church. I wasn't married. But I knew a lot about it. I'd read a lot of books. I had knowledge. And then, 2 o'clock, came, here comes the bride, down the aisle, beautiful. To me, she looked triumphant. You know, she had a big smile on her face. I was scared to death. Just scared to death. I about fell apart just 2 hours before the wedding. It dawned on me what I was doing. It's not that she wasn't wonderful, but I guess I just didn't, you know, think of all that responsibility. And I went to the altar, and he said, "Do you take Marilyn to be your lawfully wedded wife? You know, for better or for worse? You know, and she, till death do you part?" And I said, "I do." And he asked Marilyn, "Do you take Bob to be your lawfully wedded husband?" She said, "I do." And then he turned and he said, "I now pronounce you as man and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Bob Vedano. Now I'll tell you about marriage." I knew a lot about it, but I wasn't married. It wasn't until March 28th, 2 o'clock, 1964, that I became married. Now, I've experienced marriage, and I'll tell you what that is. Well, this is believing, even in the first step of salvation. It's committing our life. "But as many as received him," John 1:12, "to them gave he power." I embraced Marilyn as my own, and that verse means the same thing. "But as many as embraced him, received him, God gave the power." And it's from the very beginning. You cannot be a born-again believer unless you have embraced Jesus Christ as your own. Your parents' love and faith for you will not bring you into the kingdom of God. They'll guide you to the very point, but you must decide. And for this to be an experience thing for you, you must invite him into your life. And from the very beginning, knowledge with experience of putting it to use. Whatever we're learning in theory must be hammered out in our daily walk, our life, our home, our job, our experience. It's a Christian life. Okay, knowledge is important first. We have to know something. The second thing, put this up. By the way, the little illustration I'm putting on the board tonight is an explanation of what goes on between here and here. This process of knowing the Lord. The process that we want to go on, the interaction that we want to see happen this week. As a result of knowledge, we love. I did not love Marilyn until I met her and got some facts and saw her, got some knowledge. And then I loved her. Hosea 6:6. Now it interchanges the two words of knowledge and love. "For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings." Now you think, boy, sacrifice, that's action. Well, in the Old Testament, sacrifice, burnt offerings were a worship, in a sense, and God wants our worship, but he just doesn't want a ritual. He wants more than the old Jewish ritual. He wants a true knowledge of God. So he desires steadfast love, but we get to know. We have some knowledge. First of all, I heard the gospel, and then I made my first step, and I invited him into my life, and then what little experience I had there, I began to love the Lord even more. And I look back on that, and I just wonder sometimes if my love is as great now as it was at that time, because it was like, well, it was like engagement, I can remember. These experiences were alike. When I was engaged, I wanted to shout it from the housetops, and she said yes, she'd marry me. Well, man, when I got saved, I wanted to do the same thing. And there was a love, and a spontaneous love. 1 John 4:13-19. 1 John 4:13-19. "By this we know," knowledge, "know, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his own spirit." And we get verses like 1 John 5:11-12 to help a person know this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And the knowledge of his love for us and experiencing this, then we can love. We can love him. Now, love is putting the best interest of another ahead of your own. Love is putting the best interest of another ahead of your own. This was Christ. Christ put the best interest of us before himself and he died. And he shed his blood and he loved us, and now we can love. After I know, then I can love him. Now, love is an act of the will. Love is not some, just some warm, gushy feeling. But love is an act of the will. I had to choose to love and marry Marilyn. In a sense, I asked her to marry me. And when I didn't, not at gunpoint, you know, she didn't compel her to, but I said, "Would you marry me?" And she decided yes. It was her free will. For instance, look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. Now, if you don't lose patience, it takes an act of the will. I mean, for you to be patient and you think, bite my tongue, you know, I'll just... Some way we go about it that way, don't we? Slow to lose patience. This is out of the Phillips. It looks for a way of being constructive. That's an act of the will. Love is an act of the will. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. And I know this is an act of the will. When the navigators get together, I have to make it an act of the will. Neither be anxious to impress nor cherish inflated ideas. And I have to just say, "Now, God, I want to take upon myself the form of a servant and be made like you, making myself of no reputation." It has to be an act of the will. Love has good manners. I know that's an act of the will because I have bad manners sometimes. And Marilyn says, "Now, shape up." You know, I need good manners and I have to work on this. It's an act of the will. Does not pursue selfish advantage. We have many choices, don't we? Shall I pursue that, or shall I not? An act of the will. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. And in a sense, in 1 John 5:3, "And this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments." We obey. First, we have knowledge. And the more we know him, the more we want to love him. And actually, in 1 John 5:3, it talks about, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And loving, as I mentioned, an act of the will, it has to do with obedience. John 14:21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." You know, Marilyn knows if I love her or not. By the way I act and what I do. And sometimes that's the thing that gets me in hot water. You know? Because I'm not choosing. Now, obedience is very important. I do not believe that you will know God outside of obedience. I do not believe that you will know God this week. You will know Jesus Christ this week outside of obedience. There is no shortcut. God will communicate to you this week through his word. After he communicates, you will have a choice to make. It will be an act of the will. It will be for yourself or against God, or for God and against yourself. I was sitting on the couch this afternoon. Marilyn came into the room and wanted a chair, and we were in business. And it flashed in my mind, now you could pick that chair up and carry it out to the other room for her. I sat there. One of the other guys got up and picked up the chair and carried it out for her. I made a choice, didn't I? God will speak to you out of His Word. There will be choices to make. It will be by faith that you will have to make these choices. But by faith is the only way to please Him. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. And to please Him this week, it will be an act of the will by faith. God will speak. He will communicate. He will give you a choice. It will be an act of the will by faith. It will be specific, probably. The devil confuses. He discourages. He smoke screens you. You don't know really what's wrong. And confusion and depression, and that's not the spirit. The spirit is usually very specific. And it will probably be specific. You are expected to obey what you know, not what you don't know, not what others know, but specifically what you know. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And God desires an immediate response. I like 1 Samuel 15:22 and 23. Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices, in this worship? And I don't mean, I'm not saying worship, but in just a ritual. Just going through a form. Just playing church. Now, two people, can go to church. And they can play church or they can go to church. And there's both. In every congregation, we know that. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, gets to this hesitancy of not immediate obedience. He says, for rebellion, it says in the King James, is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, He's also rejected you from being king. He will give you a choice. He will take an act of the will, by faith, specifically, and He wants a response. As you obey, as you choose for God and against yourself, you will please Him. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. The scriptures tell us, He delights, it says. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. If you obey me, and you understand me, which understanding comes through obedience of knowledge and love. He said, this is pleasing to me. I delight. The command, for instance, to evangelize. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Paul says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. It pleases God when we obey Him. And Paul was speaking, he's entrusted to the gospel and he obeyed. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, brethren, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, that as you learned from us how you ought to live and to please God, not to think, but to live and to please God, just as you are doing, you do so more and more. This pleases Him. And as a result of pleasing Him,
we get to know Him better.
He that has My commandments and keeps them. John 14:21. He that has My commandments and keeps them. What? He it is that loves Me. And he that loves Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and what? Will manifest Myself to him. He will reveal Himself to you. Only you and God alone. You will know Him better. Matthew 22:29, Jesus said unto them, "You're wrong. You don't know the Scriptures, nor the power of God." We've got to know more than the Scriptures. We have to make a choice and step out on those Scriptures in obedience to experience and know Jesus Christ. You say, give me some examples. Philippians 4:19 is just a basic law in the Bible. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I call Larry Whitehouse this week, rather he called me, and I asked, "How's everything going?" And he mentioned, well, one of the staff members said he'd be on the train if he got the money in time. And I thought to myself, well, God knows he'll be there. It's a law. My God shall supply all His need according to His riches. And who got off the bus? That staff member. God supplied. My God shall supply all your need. And He knows God better. He had a promise, the Word, and He loved the Lord. And He made plans to come. He obeyed. And this pleased God. And God revealed Himself to him. And He knows him better. Another example, Matthew 28:18-19, the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Your command. He says, go make disciples. And they go, man, but they don't want to hear. Nobody wants to listen to me. What I've got to say about the gospel, oh, they don't want to hear me. And you'll never know any difference until you go, until you tell them. And then you find out most people are wide open and dying for what you know. Oh, I couldn't possibly answer all their questions. How could I go? Man, they'd ask me questions I never could understand, let alone answer. And then you go and you find out half their questions aren't that hard. God gives you and equips you. And then so you go. You have knowledge that you should go. And because you love Him, you obey Him. And because you obey Him, it pleases Him. And He reveals Himself to you. And you know Him in a new way. Philippians 3:10. "Our determined purpose is that you might know Jesus Christ. That you may this week progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may, in that same way, we pray that you might know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that you may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit to His likeness." He's busy making you into like Him. Now, I've told you how it works. But what goes on in the heart? That struggle. You know you'd like to know God. What's a struggle that goes on in the heart? Do you know how it happens? Marilyn and I have been reading In the Arena by Isabel Kuhn. It's blessed our hearts. I drive and she reads. She drives and I sleep. You know, the way it goes. But in this book, blessed my heart, I'll never forget it. Philippians 3:10. She says the way you get to know God is by going through Philippians 3:10 backwards. there are certain verses in the Bible you read backwards, and this is one of them. First of all, you choose to be transformed in spirit into the likeness of his death. You choose to die. Every time you make a choice for God and against yourself, you choose to die. That's what you do. Secondly, backwards, it says, the fellowship of his sufferings, you invite that. You invite the fellowship of his sufferings. You say, oh, stop, it hurts already, too bad. But don't forget the next step backwards. You also experience the power of his resurrection. And in so doing, you know him. The wonderful knowledge and experience between you and God of knowing him. We are going to the Middle East. Marilyn and I have chosen to die, to pour ourselves on the altar in Beirut, Lebanon, for the Arabs, for the Muslims, that they might know Christ. We are inviting the fellowship of his sufferings, but we are looking forward to the power of his resurrection, experiencing it daily, and we will know him when we obey him. And you know, it keeps going round and round and round. It just leads to, because the more you know him as a result of his revealing himself to you, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to obey him. And the more you obey him, it pleases him and he reveals himself to you more. And you know what? You want to know him more. You know him more and you want to love him more. And on and on. We pray that our determined purpose this week we might know Christ. There will be choices to make this week. Prepare your heart for those choices that God will speak to you about. Let's pray.